Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Yeah. Yo, I go by the name of Mario Winans, and this is the moment you've all been waiting for. Yeah, I bring to you my auntie, CC Winans. Yo, CC, drop that purse.
I know that you think you can pray after that mistake, but I know it's the only way you can make it better. And I know situations get too much for you to take, and you feel like you're gonna break, and it makes you say, I can't take it. Ooh, I think it better. Ooh, I'm so frustrated, but it's gonna be okay, 'cause you got someone in your corner. Ooh, gonna be there for you.
Hallelujah. Glad you are here this evening. Welcome, everyone, to the Omega Ministries Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host this evening, Servant Jason Felix, and I'm so glad you're here as we are doing this series, Exploring the Mysteries of God. And tonight we have a special guest host, Pastor Tanya Robinson, co-pastor of Judah Tabernacle in Melvindale, Michigan. But before we bring her on, I wanted to let everybody in on tonight. It's been real amazing that through the Bible there have been numerous women that have come through and made what we call remarkable influences on the right people in God's purpose. And I just want to thank them for that. And you know the saying that says, besides every strong man is a wise woman, the combination is unbreakable. God is a mastermind. So before we go any further, I just want to jump on in and let us pray. So with that being said, I want to say a special prayer tonight. So Lord, as we come through, we just want noble women to agree with your thoughts about them so that they can become the women and wife you designed them to be. Break down the walls of fear and pride that keep them from knowing who they have became, who have they become, and they have, that they embrace you and your sacrifice of love that you have on the cross. Oh, we invite you right now, your Holy Spirit, Father, to convict them of any sin that they have committed that separates them from the full knowledge of you and their place in your family. Purify their mind, Lord. Transform their thoughts by the power of your word, and show them where and when their thoughts about your their spouses that does not agree with your thoughts. Ignite in them an unquenchable desire to see them and to see their husband as you see them. Let your Holy Spirit be their husband's appreciating coach and pointing out to them their noble and praiseworthy attributes. Father God, right now they need your help to guard their hearts against bitterness, selfishness, and temptation to pursue the attention of anybody else. So be their gentle shepherd and lead them away from the activities and relationships that will keep them from prioritizing their marriage or any other earthly relationship against you. We just want to thank you right now for the influence that you have given them and their husbands, Father, in their husbands' lives. Use them to affirm them for your purpose and for that his purpose is in your kingdom and the gifts that you have given him. You see, when a husband looks into their eyes, allow him to experience your love and compassion. When he hears her voice calling his name, let him hear your voice delighting in him. And when he hears her talk about him, confirm for him the value of his life as your creation. Yes, Father, inspire the husband to live obedience to your word. Remind him of the peaceful and confident life you deliver him, how you deliver his life for your instructions. And we just want his heart right now and his mind to be brimming with joy and peace because he has a wife. His word says when he finds a wife, he finds a good thing, and because of his relationship in you, his life will be hope-filled. Oh, our heart cries out right now for husbands that they would know you, Father, for the God of the Bible knows who you are. And Father, let them know who you are and tear down any misconceptions that he has about you, and help him right now to see you as he leads him through by this noble woman by his side. Because you know how 1 Corinthians says, love, patient, kind, and enduring love to him. So we invite you right now to teach him your character and roles in his life, and help him to be that position that keeps his woman strong. You created husbands and wives to reflect your strength and your confidence so that your Holy Spirit will shield their eyes from the world's self-sufficient idea of manhood, nurturing them a willingness to surrender their will and run this race that accomplishes yours, and grant them your wisdom when addressing difficult subjects, and let them see and hear the other's heart with the spiritual wisdom that you freely give. Teach them to speak truth to each other in love as they navigate these days together, and let their words and their actions toward the other be compassionate, humble, patient, gentle, and kind. And Lord, we just declare that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is fighting for husbands and wives so that they live together, operating as one. And let the challenges of life push them forward in total dependence on you to remain together. So we trust that taking up your cross and laying down our lives for each other will lead to an amazing life of love together. For we are one. Teach us to think as one, not selfishly or independently. You see, with your moment-by-moment leadership, we will finish the race together. These are the blessings of a relationship with a noble woman. And it's in the Master's mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to welcome everybody once again on tonight as we talk about the noble women of Christ. Now, before we bring on this great woman of God, I want to tell you a quick story about one of these great noble women in Christ. And her name was Abigail. And I'm going to come to you from 1 Samuel chapter 25, and I'm going to read chapters 2 to 39. Then give you a brief summary, then we'll take a quick break. And then when I come back, we'll bring in this woman of God as I introduce her. And as she gets done and you have a comment or want to join the conversation, all you got to do is press the number 1 and it'll show up on the screen, and I'll unmute your phone so that you can come in and be a blessing to this journey. So if you will, I'm going to dive right in. Like I said before, 1 Samuel, verse 25, verses 2 through 39, and they go a little bit like this. It says, and there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was sharing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of beautiful countenance, but the man was clurish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. and David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did share his sheep. And David went out, sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David and who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my sharers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, gird on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master. And he railed on them. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told her not her husband Nabal. And it was so as she rode on the ass and that she came down by the covert of the hill and she behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all this that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he has requited me evil for good. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lifted off her ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. And fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thy audience and hear the words of thy handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as he name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him, but I, thine handmaid, saw not the young man of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thy enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thy hand may have brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil have not found in thine all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God and the souls of thy enemies. Then shall he sling out and out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood costless, or that thou, my Lord, have avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thy handmaid. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hand. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house, and see, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house like a feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Wherefore she told him nothing, lest the morn to the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, that and his wife had told him these things, and his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, and he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sinned and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. Now here's the thing. when Abigail went into this situation, she went to save her land. See, Abigail is saying to David, don't hold what my husband has done against us. You are going to be king. I can just see David sitting astride his horse, looking down at this woman who is actually down in the dust. She is a beautiful and a noble woman. Now, David was thankful to this woman for her wisdom in keeping him from an act that would have caused him regret. You see, David accepted Abigail's food, advice, and person. And Nabal, this is what happened with him. He had a big party that night. He was a swinger, my people. He had sobered up the next morning, and Abigail told him what had transpired the day before with David. Then his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. He not only had a headache, but he had a heartache too. Now, what happened to him? Did he have a heart attack? It is well that God moved Abigail to intervene. You see, David's hands would have been red with blood, and God didn't want that to happen. Now, what is David going to do? There's a beautiful widow who lives in the desert of Paran. She is actually the only woman who has been a blessing to him. Everybody else had a plan. She came to him raw. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he wanted Abigail for his wife. When he had interceded David on the road, when she did that, she had said, when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thy handmaid. Well, David could not forget her. Do you know why? I'm going to tell you why. You see, she had appealed to the best in him. She had advised him, and he knew her advice was right. You see, he had loved her. He knew he did, because I think it was love at first sight. You see, and David also recognized the hand of God, that God can use beauty. You know Valentine's Day is coming up. But that day on the road, as he thanked her for her good advice, two great souls stood in the presence of each other, that holy matrimony. Not that Nabal was dead. You see, David asked her to become his wife, and she did. But this marks the beginning of another phase that was in David's life. See, what I'm trying to get to right here is that a noble woman does all the right things for the right person and for the right man. But a noble woman that believes in God is a powerful woman, because that belief system is so strong, it can't be wavered. But when it is tried, it does know how to fight back. So I just want to thank everybody for this time as we take a quick break. And as we come back, we're going to have the great and honorable woman of God herself, Pastor Tanya Robinson, when we come back. But before we go, I want you guys to know this, that Jesus is Lord.
Don't know how, but you did it. Made a way. Standing here, not knowing how we'll get through this test. But holding on to faith, you know best. Nothing can catch you by surprise. You got this figured out. Watching us now, and when it looks as if we can't win, wrap within your arms and step in, and everything we need you to supply. You got this in control, and now we know that you.
you made a way. Hallelujah. Welcome back, everyone, to the Omega Ministries Blog Talk Radio Show. And the time of the hour has came. Let me introduce the woman of God to you. Lady Tanya R. Robinson is a native of Greenwood, Mississippi, and serves as co-pastor of Judah Tabernacle alongside her husband, Pastor Bishop-elect Cedric A. Robinson in Melvindale, Michigan. She has been teaching and preaching the Word of God since 1998, the calling of her life cultivated at an early age by her grandmother, the love of Jesus, family unity, and the significance of wisdom, and she has embraced each one wholeheartedly. Lady Tanya attained both her bachelor's and master's degrees in Christian education theology from Oral Roberts University, located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. She was licensed to preach in 2001 and was ordained in March of 2009. Her eternal goal is to tear down the kingdom of darkness as she biblically brings light to all who will hear her. Lady Tanya is a powerful prayer warrior. As an intercessor, she is anointed to stand in the gap for those who are in need. While calling down the kingdom of heaven, she believes in the power of prayer and is often found quoting, "Your prayer life is a true indication of your relationship with God." Now, Lady Tanya travels extensively, and her unique presentation of the gospel has enabled her to minister to many denominations and organizations. She has an anointed, she is an anointed, much sought-after preacher, teacher, lecturer, leader, and counselor. Moreover, God has granted her favor, and her gifts have opened many doors. She has had the privilege to serve at various women conferences, revivals, and marriage seminars. Lady Tanya is a straightforward woman of God. She is committed to Christ and the things of God. She firmly believes on the scriptures, especially this one, Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get an understanding. Locally right now, currently, Tanya serves as Operation Administrator, Christian Educator Director, and Director of the Women's Ministry, the Daughters of Judah. She has served as an instructor for Judah Bible Institute for the past 13 years, where she has been instrumental in preparing students for the work of ministry. Lady Tanya also sings on the praise team. What a lovely voice, and she is a staff counselor alongside her husband. Now, her love and passion also reaches into the community for outreach ministry to nurture and nourish the homeless and helpless. She can often be found in the most duplicated area of her inner city, witnessing and servicing the underprivileged. Lady Tanya is the epitome of a virtuous woman. She's a great wife, a loving mom, a caring godmother, and always found mothering the many of her children of Judah. So without any further ado, if you will, put your hands together as I welcome you, Pastor Tanya Robinson.
Amen. Glory to God. Elder Felix, I thank you for having me on this evening. It is an honor to be a part of your broadcast tonight. I do want to give honor to my bishop, my pastor, my husband, Pastor Cedric Robinson of Judah Tabernacle. I give God glory and honor for all of you who are out there listening. I just believe God has a word for you that's going to be life-changing for you. So without further ado, if you don't mind, if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 1, and I'm going to read verse 8. However, in your spare time or your leisure, I would like for you to read all the way up to verse 35 because I want you to get the entire gist of the story. But for the sake of time, I just want to focus tonight on Luke chapter number 1, verse number 28. And it reads, "And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, O God, for this word. I pray, O God, that this word, O God, will become living in the lives of those who are hearing tonight. Lord, you know what you want them to get out of, O God. So, Lord, send your blessing forward. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen, amen, glory to God. Well, Elder Felix, I understand tonight that your theme is Noble Women of Christ. And that is why I chose this particular text. I believe Mary is the epitome of nobility and strength. And I believe that there is something that all women can glean from her. So tonight, if I were to take a text, I would entitle it Blessed and Highly Favored. Yeah, Blessed and Highly Favored. There are just a few things I want to extrapolate from this text. I just believe that this text will afford us the opportunity where God will prepare us, not only prepare us, but position us to receive God's blessings and God's favor. Amen. If you were to take a look again at that text, it says, and the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, art thou among women. Amen. I just believe in this particular pericope, you will find that the angel Gabriel is delivering a message to a lowly serving girl by the name of Mary. Now, I'm sure many of you are familiar with the story. We know the story of Mary the Virgin. She was the mother of Jesus and all of that. But I just want to extract some things that I believe that are useful for us today, right now, in this particular season. Somebody say Mary. Yeah. Very little is known of her personal history. However, we can understand that her genealogy is given to us through the book of Luke. We'll find that she was of the tribe of Judah, and she was of the lineage of David. She was connected by marriage with Elizabeth, who was of the lineage of Aaron, which is a priestly order. See, God was up to something even then when he was connecting the kin people to bring about the Savior. But I just know that God hadn't stopped connecting. God hadn't stopped putting people together for a divine moment, for a divine purpose. And I just believe tonight he has a word that's going to help put us where we should be in order for us to get the blessings that God has for us. But nevertheless, after the angel saluted Mary or greeted her, he immediately began to decree three things about her. He says, number one, thou that art highly favored. Number two, the Lord is with you. And then number three, blessed art thou among women. He gave her three declarations right there in a row. So I just believe God has some declarations that he wants to reveal unto the women tonight. But now watch this. After the angel here in the text declared these three things, he then turns to Mary and say, fear not. Now watch this. He began to declare some things. You're highly favored. The Lord is with you. And blessed are you among women. And after all of these declarations, he then turns and says, but fear not. I just can imagine this servant girl, this regular nobody, this common girl that perhaps many people thought to be of no value or nothing special. She possessed no unique qualities that you would have noticed by the masses. But somehow she has gotten God's attention, and he called her for a specific person. I don't know about you, but I just believe God used the things that other people discard, things that people think are not up to par. He uses these things to profound the wise. God used a small amount of people as opposed to the large amount because he wants to show himself mighty and strong and powerful. Oh, I just believe God is up to something tonight. So therefore, God, not only did God call Mary, but he had a specific purpose for her that no other woman can fulfill. So she may not have been measured up to man's standards, but she exceeded in God's standard. Glory to God. And just like Mary, somebody say Mary out there, just like Mary, there is a calling and an anointing on the women of God on your life tonight. I just believe it with every fiber in my body. It is important that you understand that you were born for a specific purpose. You're not here by accident. I don't care if your mom and daddy never got married. I don't care if they called you an accident, because you're not an accident. God don't make accidents. I just believe that there is a specific purpose as to why God have you here. As a man, matter of fact, according to the book of Jeremiah, I just believe that God called you while you were still in your mother's womb. You got to understand something. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. He don't want you to ever figure out who you really are. Because, Lord Jesus, if you ever figure out who you are, can't no devil in hell stop the thing that God has for you. So not only are you called by God, not only are you have a mandate by God, but God has called and anointed you for such a time as this, hello somebody, to reveal your marriage. God is calling you to reveal your career. He's calling you to reveal your relationship. He's calling you to rebuild your confidence. He's calling you to rebuild your finances. He's calling you to rebuild your credit. He's calling you to rebuild your character. He's calling you to rebuild your family. It's not an accident or a coincidence that we all supposed to be locked down and shut down in the house. Our God is using this time so you can get back to the things that are favorable by God. He wants your family intact. He wants your career intact. He wants your relationship intact. He wants your credit intact, because the things that God is going to use the kingdom of God to do, you're going to have some credit. So God is saying, tell the women of God to get ready tonight. Yes, God, yes, God. Mary here in the text was told by God through Gabriel, the archangel, that she is, number one, highly favored, that the Lord is with her, and blessed is she among women. I just believe the Lord is making another declaration tonight. I just believe that this declaration includes you. In other words, the declaration that God is making tonight is for the women of God who's been looked over, the women of God who've been put down, the women of God who have been told they're not good enough, who've been told they're not smart enough, who've been told they don't have enough degrees, you don't have any degrees, who've been told that you did some things that God's not pleased with, so therefore you're not qualified. God said, enough with the foolishness. I'm going to call who I call, and I'm going to put my spirit in them, and they shall be qualified, because whom I call, I also qualify. Glory to be to God. He is up to something. So therefore, God is making a declaration tonight. That's you. Those that are out there listening to my voice, that's you too. Glory to God. He's saying, number one, I'm going to favor you. My favor is already on you. The next job you get, the next house you get, the next relationship that's intact, it's not going to even be about you. Don't even worry about your credit right now, because everything I'm going to do in this season is going to be on me. Glory to God. So God is saying, in this time, I'm going to give you favor. But not only am I going to give you favor, but I'm going to be with you. You will not have to walk this walk alone. As a matter of fact, every time you get ready to do something, call me on in, because we're going to do this together. God is saying, I am with you. I will never leave nor forsake you. So even when it gets tough, even when it gets hard, even when it gets difficult, God said, hang on in there, because I got your help right by your side. God is saying, for number three, this other declaration is, he said, I'm going to bless you. Now, three things. I'm going to give you favor, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to bless you. I just thank God in the name of Jesus for the things that he's calling forth on tonight. Now, watch this in the text. After the angel makes the prophetic declaration, he immediately tells her to fear not. Now, watch out. After he told her all the declaration, he immediately tells her to fear not. Now, why is that? God has blessed her. God has chosen her. God has already positioned her for the blessing. And now he said, well, now watch this, fear not, actually is an emotion that is induced by perceived or preconceived threat. It doesn't have to happen just because you think it. Your body begins to produce certain enzymes that you can't control right now because you are in fear. And I actually have an acronym for that. Fear actually is false evidence appearing real. Hallelujah, glory to God. The phrase fear not appears in the Bible 365 times. I believe that's one for each day of the year. God knew that life wasn't going to be easy. He knew it was going to go through struggles and situations. So therefore, it's going to cause us to climb up. It's going to cause us to be fear. It was going to cause us to not want to go forward. But he said, but because I know this, I'm telling you ahead of time, before the trouble gets here, fear not, because I am with you. He gave us a fear in the Bible, one for each day of the year, which is an indication that every day of your life, the enemy is in hot pursuit of you to scare you into not fulfilling your destiny. You got to understand something. Satan don't care if you go to church. Satan don't care if you are a tither. Satan don't care if you sing in the choir. Satan don't care if you own a part of a Sunday school class. What he's trying to do is to get you from reaching your destiny, from reaching your purpose. You got to understand something. You are born for a purpose. And if he can get you to not go ahead and be about your father's business, God's business, then he got you defeated. But I'm glad tonight to tell you that God knew this. He's already brought us some help. Glory to God. The devil can't stop your destiny. Hello, somebody. I'm going to say that one more time. The devil cannot stop your destiny. But what he does is he convinces you to stop your own destiny by causing you to fear. Well, what if it don't work out? Well, what if I mess up? Well, what if I do all of that and I end up looking stupid and everybody's going to be talking about me because I said I was going to do this and I said I was going to do that? Let me tell you something. Stop it. Don't worry about what they say. You worry about what the Lord say. Lord, if you are with me, I do it. And the thing of it is, when God is with you, there is no failure in God. It doesn't matter if it didn't work out the way you thought. It doesn't matter if it wasn't the house that you thought you was going to get. God saying, when I bless it, I add no sorrow to it. So in other words, you can't say, I like it, but this would have been good. But ain't no but. When God gives it to you, honey, you can't even fret about it, because everything he does is well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the devil will try to get you to forfeit your destiny by causing you to fear. The angel Gabriel knew Mary will be coming up against obstacles and trouble and problems and issues and adversity. So even before the problem could even form, the angel told her, but don't fear, fear not. Don't get scared about it. You're getting ready to have this baby, but don't get afraid about it. You got to understand, Mary was up against the culture of that time. She was a single woman. Even though she was espoused to Joseph, she knew she was going to be the talk of the town. She knew this could end her life. She knew they could stone her for this. She knew the culture, but he said, fear not. Fear not. What am I telling you, women of God, tonight? There are some things that God called you to do, but you're a little afraid of it. I'm trying to tell you that God is with you, and there is no failure in him. Glory to God. Women of God, you got to be careful now with this fear thing. You got to be careful with this, because fear will paralyze you or bring you to a stop or try to stop your ability to move forward. That's all it does. Well, I'm not going to do it right now. I'm not going to go to school right now because it's just going to be too hard. I mean, I got the keys and I got this. Oh, it's going to be too hard. Fear. You know, I'm not going to go on and buy that house right now because it's just going to be too much right now. You know, with the economy the way it is, I better wait. Fear. You know, I'm not going to go ahead and launch this thing that I've been talking about, this new opportunity. Fear. I'm not going to go ahead and go for the promotion because, you know, they got all them degrees and I don't have that kind of degree. Fear. I'm trying to tell you, whatever your mind can produce, your body and your hands can produce, because blessings are upon your hand. Everything your hand touch will produce. Glory to God. In the book of 1 Peter 1:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walk around about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In other words, he ain't got no bite in this game, but what he's going to do is scare you into not trying to do what you're doing. So fear will cause you to shut it down. Fear will cause the very thing that God has called you to do and ordained for you to do, it'll cause you to bring it to a screeching halt. All I'm saying is you're going to have to decide tonight whose report you're going to believe. You're going to believe the lie that Satan been handing down for years and years and generation to generation, or you're going to step out on faith tonight and believe that God has called you for this particular purpose because you are a noble woman. I know when we think about noble women, we think about women that are perceived, women that are uppity, women that has this way about them that seems untouchable. But what I'm trying to tell you tonight, in my idea of a noble woman, it's a woman that's been through hell and high water. It's a woman that's been counted out. It's a woman that everybody somebody else looked down on. It's a woman that's been through so much stuff, and she finds herself in the end overcoming everything the enemy threw her way. That makes you noble in my book. In other words, every problem, every struggle, every distraction that you came up against, you were able to overcome them. Why? Because God says you are an overcomer, that you are victorious. You got to know who you are in the mighty name of Jesus. I just believe that God is doing something awesome right now. In other words, if you don't be careful, fear will derail your purpose. You were born for a purpose. You weren't born just because the world just needs another person in it. You were born with a specific purpose that only God wanted you to do. As a matter of fact, watch this, watch this. Anytime you read in the Bible where God says to mankind, fear not, you'll find that one or three things were happening. Number one, God was preparing man for an assignment. Man was already on an assignment. A man was under an attack because of the assignment. Now, I'm not sure where you are on this scale. Either God is preparing you for this assignment, woman of God, or you are already on your assignment, or you are now being attacked because of the assignment. All I'm saying tonight, women of God, don't allow the attack to turn you back. You got to stand flat-footed and know that God is with you. Glory to God. Also, God has an assignment with your name on it. This assignment can and will only be fulfilled by you. There's a thing that God has called, baby, only you can do. I can't do it. Your mama can't do it. Ray Ray and Pookie, them, none of those people can do it. Only you can do it because that is your divine assignment. You got to get in a quiet place and ask God to talk to you about the assignment that's on your life. And according to the scripture, the angel came and revealed to Mary. Hello, somebody. The angel came and revealed to Mary some things that would come to pass. In other words, she began to prophesy some things into her life, things that she was not aware of. The angel began to say, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. She did not know any of these things until the angel told her. There's some stuff that you're dealing with that you've already been told by the angel. Hello, somebody. Now watch this. In the book of Revelation, it talks about angels over the churches. You got to understand, here in this pericope, you'll find that these angels are known as pastors. They are the set angels of the house. I know somewhere down the line somebody has prophesied to you about what you shall be, that you shall be successful, that you shall be great, that you shall start this business, that book that's on the inside of you, God said it's time now to start writing. All these things has already been talked and prophesied in your life, and God said now is the time. I just believe many of you were just like Mary. You were prophesied by the angel of the house. I believe that the difference between you and Mary, now go down and read the scriptures later on, but Mary said her response was, be it unto me, as you said. Now, our response, not always like Mary. Sometimes our response may be, let me get myself together first. There are some things I need to put in order first. Let me check on something first. We don't just tell God, okay, God, if you want to use me, here I am. I dare you tonight to put it all in God's hand and see what he can do. And I'm going to tell you something. God has already expedited the time. In other words, we used to do this thing that we call a seed and harvest. Okay? In other words, you sow a seed and then you get the harvest. But God is saying now, he has already expedited the time. He's taking time out of the equation. The minute you begin to sow into your destiny, sow into your dreams, sow into your future, God is saying, I'm going to bring about the harvest. In other words, it ain't going to take the same long to get off the ground, because the time is now for you begin to do the things that God has called you. Right now, many of you are experiencing a season of bondage due to this pandemic. We all have been through the pandemic. We know what's going on. We know why it's going on and all of that other good stuff. But watch this. A season of uncertainty, a season of stress, a season of immobility, a season of chaos, a season of frustration is what this pandemic has brought upon us. Amen. And in other words, you find yourself burning down. You find yourself depressed. You may find yourself oppressed. You may find yourself non-productive. You may find yourself busted and disgusted. And there may appear no sight in mind, no end to when this thing is going to clear up. In other words, we're looking at the news, we're trying to hear when this ain't going to be over. We don't know. But let me tell you something. You got to understand who God is. Don't you know that God is Alpha and Omega, that he's the beginning and the end, that he's all wise, all knowing, that he can be everywhere at all times? Don't you know the same God that walked on water, that raised the dead, the same God that healed the sick and opened blinded eyes, the same God that fed the people with manna from heaven, the same God that sent his son to die on the cross that we may be saved, is the same God tonight telling you, baby, I got you during this pandemic. As a matter of fact, many of you out there that hear my voice can actually say, I still blessed. Yes, it's been hard. Yes, we've been sick. Yes, we know people passed on, but in spite of everything, God has been good to us, and he's still blessing us in spite of the pandemic. I just believe that tonight God is saying, this is your season. Now, I know I've got a few more minutes, but I'm going to try to hurry up and say this. Many of you are listening tonight have expectations. You have hopes. You have dreams that are due to manifest this year.
Mm-hmm.
You thought they were going to come last year, but the pandemic showed up. But let me tell you something. Pandemic can't stop God. Hello, somebody. And God is saying, I'm going to reveal some things to you and bless you in this year, because this is the season that I'm going to release my favor. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I know some people have told you, well, it's too late for that dream. You may as well put that down. You may as well put that down. Don't even try out for that job, because you know you don't qualify. In other words, let me tell you something. God's not going to use man's standard. You're not going to get this through the customary norm. God's going to do something supernatural, hello somebody, in order to get you in that position, in order to get you until your expected end. Glory to God. I think it's important for you to understand that your current situation, women of God, is not an accident. That you are right where God wants you tonight. There is a divine purpose for you being right where you are. I just believe God is using favor. Somebody said favor. Say it again, favor. I just believe God is using favor to revive and to bless the women of God. That word revive means to change. God want to change up some things. There may be, now I'm going to tell you, you might get mad at me about this, but there are some places and some things that God has for you. And there are some places that you can't take everybody with you. So God may cause you to leave a few friends behind. He may cause you to leave a few family members behind. Don't worry about it, because God is going to anoint you and equip you to handle all of it. But you got to understand, you got to be ready. When God say move, he wants you to move. I know it's been hard. I know it's been tough. According to 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse 10 says, in his kindness, God calls you to his eternal glory by the means of Jesus Christ. Then watch this. He says, after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All I'm saying is you keep on keeping on. You keep on putting your hands in God's hands. Keep your eyes lifted to the sky. Know that we walk by faith and not by sight. God said a change is coming. I got to change up some stuff. And when you're talking about change, you're talking about action. Change doesn't happen just because you like change. There got to be some action to it. So God is saying faith without works is dead. Hello, somebody. Sometimes, in order to get your attention, God will reveal him, sovereign God. He will move you from a place of comfort to a place of discomfort. He will move you from the place of familiar to unfamiliar. He will begin to change the way you normally do things and have you to try something that you never tried before. All I'm saying is trust God through the process. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Is my time up, Pastor? Elder Felix? Am I good? Can I keep going, or is that?
Keep on going, Mama. Keep it in.
Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. So in all of this, I just want you women to know that you guys, you are powerful. That you are called by God. That it doesn't matter what was, but all matter is what is and what is to come. God says, now, not only am I going to revive some things in your life, but I'm going to add some blessing to it. And I love this thing when I talk about blessings. Blessings are simply goodness restored by God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God says, I got some goodness to bestow on you. Hello, somebody. And I thank you, oh God, in the name of Jesus, for the goodness that you have for us. Now, ladies, watch this. We must understand that oftentimes what is going on in our life, how we deal with stuff, the situation, why this always happens to me? Why am I always attracted to this type of man? Why do I always go for this kind of house? Why all my jobs are like this? You got to understand there's some stuff that's going on within us that in the natural that's already has happened in the spiritual. Oh, I know I'm right about it. God has called all of us to be noble. It doesn't matter about your past, about your mistakes, about what people say about you. It doesn't matter about any of these. The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Let me call a few witnesses. Come here, Eve. You got to understand who Eve was. Eve was the wife of Adam. She was rebellious. She represents the woman who is disobedient and wants to do things her own way. She represents a rebellious spirit. Now watch this. Rebellious means disobedient. It means opposing or defying authority. According to 1 Samuel 15:23, it says rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. What am I saying here? Doesn't matter about what you've done in the past. Look what Eve has done. There are some stuff that we may be connected to in the spiritual realm. But, Lord, I come right now and break the spirit of Eve that's trying to have her own way, that's trying to do things her own way, even though God has set the order, set things in place. Do not touch this tree, this fruit. She did it on her own because she wants to defy some things. I come right now to break that spirit and to curse that spirit right now and say it has no place among the women of God. Now, come here. Let me get you another witness here today. Sarah was the wife of Abraham. She was barren. She represents the woman who loves the church and is involved in every aspect of it but is unfruitful. Have you ever met a person that's running around here doing all kind of things under the name of God, but you are unfruitful and bear no fruit? According to 2 Timothy 3:5, it talks about having a form of godliness, but denying the power that worketh within us. You got to understand something here. Unless God send you to do it, it's null and void. You got to do things when God called you to do it. You got to understand what Sarah did. Sarah is the one that influenced Hagar to sleep with Abraham to bring about a son named Ishmael. Oftentimes, we get impatient with God. He's taking a long time to do something, and we want to work it out in our own way. But let me tell you something. When that child was Ishmael was produced, it represents an unrest frustration. She was frustrated, so she was trying to get the child here. My question is, who is your Ishmael? What have you already done or equated to, I'm going to do this on my own, I can't wait for God. I know he said it, but he must mean this way, so let me do it this way. What is that thing that you have sown in the flesh? Hello, somebody. Now trying to harvest it in the spiritual. Hello, somebody. In other words, you can't sow in the flesh and then reap in the spirit. If God tell you he's going to do something, I tell you, you sit there and you wait on the Lord. If you got a mark time, why you waiting? You do that, but you wait on the Lord, because the minute you put your hands on it, it's going to be all messed up. And now these people who go ahead of God begin to have an attitude and all that kind of stuff. But all I'm trying to tell you, as long as Ishmael is around, Isaac cannot flourish. That's the second song. You got to do it God's way. Even Sarah laughed and didn't believe when God told her that she was going to have a son, you know, but God dealt with that. So I come up against the spirit of Sarah, that resident in us women that want to do it our way. They want to, you know, well, God ain't doing it quick enough, so let me do this. Well, God must mean then in order for me to get this promotion, I'm going to have to go ahead and go to this other job. Honey, let me tell you, you wait on God. Only move when he say move. So I rebuke that spirit of Sarah, oh God, to try to rise up in us sometime. Now, there's another spirit. Come here. Let me have another witness. Come here, Rahab. The Bible talks about Rahab. She's a harlot. She represents the woman who once lived an amoral lifestyle. She not only has skeletons in her closet, she has a whole graveyard. You know, sometimes you become afraid. Oh, I don't want people to know I did this. I don't want the people to know I did that. I don't want the people. Let me tell you something. Quit hiding about people and what they know. Tell your own story. So when it come out, you don't have to look crazy or whatever. You ain't got to tell nothing on me. I tell myself, yes, I did that. Yes, I did that too. But guess what? That was then and this is now. I'm a whole new person. So God is saying, there's some other things I need you to get you into. Rahab was the type of person folk would whisper and talk about. She was a prostitute and a liar. You know how people are. They won't say it to your face. But they got everything to say behind your back. All I'm trying to say, if God can use Rahab, Lord Jesus, have mercy. We know God can use each and every one of us. You can't be too bad for God. You can't make too many mistakes for God. Let me try to tell you, honey, just because of your past, the struggle, the heartache, the pain that you went through, it's enough books in you to be able to finance your family for the third and the fourth generation. All I'm telling you, because the Bible says your gifts will make room for you. And I'm going to call my last witness tonight. Come here, Elizabeth. Elizabeth represents women. She's a woman that was barren in her old age. She represents the bride who is faithful and have a heart of servitude. But the thing about her, you got to understand that she is the mother of John the Baptist. Her womb was closed. In other words, she represented women who always had the making for greatness, but she never had the opportunity to produce. I'm trying to tell you, tonight, women of God, you were barren. You weren't producing the things that you wanted to produce. But God is saying, I open your womb tonight. You're going to be able to produce, and I'm going to put my blessings on it. I'm going to put my favor on it, and can't no devil in hell stop what God is doing right now in your life. It's important that you understand that your situation that you are right now facing is not an accident. God knew about it. He didn't put it on you, but he allowed it to happen. God said, tell the people that before Satan can touch them, I got to give him permission. He can't even do that without me. But all I'm saying is God is in control, and he's dealing with you and helping you in the things that he called you to do. And as we continue to navigate our life throughout this pandemic and the debris of pain and suffering it continues to inflict upon us, all I need to tell you is trust God. Many of you are dealing with problems and issues and circumstances with your marriages, with your children, with your jobs, and all kinds of things that look like you're losing your mind, but God kept you. Everybody else that went through the same thing that you're dealing with, they're not here. They weren't able to weather it. You got to remember who you are and whose you are. You are a woman of nobility. You are noble. You are regal. You are the child of the Most High God. Your daddy is a king, and you are a ruler in his kingdom. You got to understand that faith and mercy surrounds you. You got to understand that he ordered yourself. You got to understand that he has given you the ability to speak those things that are not as though they were. You got to understand that when you have to let some things go, God don't just leave you empty. Everything he take away, he multiplies greatness even more into your life. So all I'm saying is, woman of God, stand firm on the word. Stand firm on the things that God is calling you to be, because this will be the greatest time of your life. God bless you, and y'all just thank you for having me, and I just love each and every one of you.
Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Tanya Robinson, that was a powerful word on tonight. Oh, I'm just saying, like you said, the declaration. He is calling you to reveal something. What you tell him, Lady Tanya, don't allow the attack to hold you back. I really like that right there. You said it will leave you busted and disgusted. Before we go excuse me, any further, I'd like to go back and recap about that Luke 1, verse 28. You see, it really brought me to being back in MIT and PIT. It was just really like this. You see, there's a tendency among other religious leaders that play down the role of Mary. You know, they try to say that this verse tells that she is highly favored in the same breath. However, let me say that she was blessed among women and not above women. You know, she is not lifted above women. She is lifted up among womanhood. You see, this is the role that she played. It is so easy to say that a woman brought sin into the world, but remember, It was a woman, not a man, who brought the Savior into the world. You got to recognize this, my people. No man had anything to do with the birth of Jesus Christ. But we are told in the book of Leviticus that the birth of the child caused a woman to be unclean because she brought a sinner into the world. But Mary is told that she is not bringing a sinner into the world. He is holy. The union of man and woman can only produce a child with a sin nature. By the virgin birth is the only way God could get that holy thing into the human family. I believe it's in Psalm, 51:5, where David said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Mary's son would be different. He would be born virgin. Virgin birth, virgin born. I just want to thank everybody on tonight. Before we go, is there any conversation, any comments that you would like to bring in to this conversation? All you got to do is press the number one, and I can unmute your mic. Tonight was very powerful. I thank you once again, Pastor Tanya Robinson. That is my spiritual mother. I see the woman that you described tonight when you was doing all that talking, Lady Tanya. That was my mother, Deborah Felix, to the fullest. She is a warrior for real. Yes, she is. But before we go any further, I don't see anybody. Everybody seems to be in awe this evening because your word was so powerful. So with that being said, Lady Tanya, if you're still on the line, if you will, take us home in prayer.
Amen. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, we just honor you, Father. We recognize, oh God, that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you, oh God, for every woman, every man, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that heard tonight, Lord, that you will reveal into them, oh God, the things that you call and ordain them to do, oh Father. We thank you, oh God, that everything you do well, oh God. Now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, continue to lead and guide them, oh God. Empower them with your anointing. Now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, give them this supernatural ability, oh God, to do whatever you call them to do with ease. Now, Father, I pray that they have sweet rest tonight, God, and wake up refreshed and ready to be about the kingdom business. In Jesus' name, I glorify you and thank you, oh God, for just being good to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. I appreciate you on tonight for coming on the Omega Ministries Blog Talk Radio Show. It has been a blessing. You have blessed the show. Tonight we're looking at about 13,000 listeners. Let's just say that this comes in correctly. And I just want to know if Pastor was on the line, if he had anything he'd like to bring or promote for Judah Tabernacle at this time. If you would, I unmute your mic, Pastor, and let us know anything you'd like to say or promote for Judah Tabernacle this evening.
I'm just thankful that you all have invited my wife to be a part of your show on tonight. I'm grateful for your spirit and what God is doing with you, Felix. And I just want to continue to encourage you to stay on the pathway of what God has destined for you to do. So blessings to you, blessings to your show and all your listeners. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. That is my spiritual father, Pastor Bishop-elect Cedric A. Robinson. It's going down. So, ladies and gentlemen, before I go, I would like to invite you. In about 56 minutes, we're going live, intercessory prayer, that is, where we stand in the gap for others, where you pick a verse and pray for someone else in need. And we get prayer reports, praise requests, we get it in. So, if you will, the number is 515-606-5317. Once again, that's 515-606-5317. And the passcode is 511-407-POUND. 511-407-POUND. It's been a great evening. I'm so glad that we were here where we talked about the noble women of God. And before we go, I got to let you know that Jesus is Lord. Yes, that will be a great evening, everybody. As you lay down tonight, I just want to leave you with this prayer. Father God, as they lay down tonight, take each and every individual and keep them away from sickness, disease, or harm, or danger, or spiritual death, and all poverty. And Father God, I'm thanking you in advance. Thank you in advance for all the glorious ways of prosperity that you may come to pass in each and every individual's lives, whether it be health, family, or wealth. Father, I'm just thanking you right now, giving you all the honor, glory, and praise, and thanking you for spreading your wings and keeping them protected, keeping them covered in the blood of Jesus. And as they lay down tonight, watch over each and every individual, their household, and their loved ones in this beautiful nation. It's in the master's mighty name of Jesus we all pray. Amen. Good night, everyone. God bless.